this is the control tower. May I repeat your mission? In 30 seconds, you get into the combat zone. The target for you to drop bombs are Alpha, Victor, CBS, Sony, Toshiba, EMI, Columbia, Crown, Polydor, Canyon, RVC, Wana, Pioneer, King, Japan, Palista, Disco May, Trio, Takuma, Kitty, SMS, Polygram, Pass, 4Life, Epic Sony. And may I repeat your mission? Bomb all these and destroy them. Over.
Disconnection. Connection.
Oh, and welcome back to another edition of Lakeshore Record Exchange's AlternativeMusic.com podcast. This is episode number 25. You can believe it, Robert. We've reached
25.
The quarter century mark. Yeah.
We've been doing this for 25 years.
Right.
Seems like we just started.
It does, actually.
Last January.
But we're rolling along. We've got another good show planned for you this afternoon, and appreciate the fact that you could stop and share some time with us. I want to remind you, I guess, beforehand, that if you have any questions or comments about the podcast, you can contact us at podcast@alternativemusic.com, and also you can check out the podcast webpage at the alternativemusic.com website. That'll have more information for you on the music that we're playing and some of the things that we're talking about. I've got, I think, two pretty decent picks this week.
I do too, I think.
Good.
And unusual picks.
Good. Some new and old stuff. But first, we're going to get into the music news, which...
Oh, boy.
We know that everybody appreciates keeping up to date with everything going on in the alternative music world. The band The Kooks, have you heard of them?
No,
they have been out around for a little while now. They are currently in the studio working on their third album with the guy who produced the Kasabian records, Jim Abris. And this is going to be the band's first work without two of their original members, Max Rafferty and Paul Garrard. So this may be a change of direction for the Kooks. But
how big was the band?
They did pretty well with their two previous releases.
No. I mean size.
Oh, how many pieces? Yeah. They were a four piece.
Oh, so they lost half their members.
Half the band is gone. Right. Also, in music news, Brighton, England band the British Sea Power have completed work on the follow-up to 2008's Mercury Prize-nominated Do You Like Rock Music? Had you ever heard British Sea Power?
I've heard the name, but I haven't heard them.
Okay. The new LP is scheduled for release in January of 2011 and will be preceded by a new EP called Return of the Gender Benders.
Admirable that they didn't hold it up for their... rush it out for the Christmas
season. That's true, yes. Also in music news, Alex Turner of the Arctic Monkeys is composing the score for an upcoming film called Submarine. It's going to be produced by Ben Stiller and starring a British sitcom actor. His name's Richard Ayoade. Have you seen the show The IT Crowd?
No.
Boy,
I'm really out of touch, aren't I?
You are, actually.
Why are you doing this with me?
They air the show on IFC.
Sort
of intermittently, and he's one of the guys from that show. It's about a group of these three people that work for a big company in the computer support department. So every time somebody has trouble with their computer, they call one of the people from this group. So, anyways...
And this guy's going to be in Submarine.
This guy, Richard Ayoade, who's in the IT Crowd, is going to be in this movie. And it's apparently based on a Welsh writer's book of the same name, Submarine, a guy by the name of Joe Dunthorne, which I haven't heard, so we don't know anything about that. Another name that may be familiar to you, Robert, Brian Eno. Will release a new, as yet untitled LP through Warp Records this year.
I knew this already.
You did. Now, this is, I found a little surprising in that he's not been on Warp Records in the past.
No. And Warp's, I think it's probably the biggest name that Warp's ever put out, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. The album will feature appearances by Ed Harcourt, Carl Barat, guitarist Leo Abrahams, and Fortet producer, remixer John Hopkins. So I saw a...
Warp's having a pretty good year, actually.
Yeah.
Broadcast and the Focus Group album.
Yeah, they've put out some awesome stuff. And also in the music news... I'm sure you're aware of this and have come to terms with it because it's happened so long ago. But, you know, the Cars broke up back in 1988.
I've been waiting for their next album. Really? Really?
And then, bizarrely enough, they sort of semi-reformed in 2005.
Missed that one.
It was all the original members with the exception of Rick Ocasek. And taking Rick Ocasek's place was Todd Rundgren. And they called themselves the New Cars.
I completely miss that, but you know how I feel about reformed groups.
Exactly. Well, despite all that sort of craziness in the past, a photo has just leaked out this past month of all four surviving members of the band, including Rick Ocasek, in the studio.
One of them is dead?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Benjamin Orr died. Oh. He was the bass player.
Yeah.
But
the guy with the glasses.
No, that's
the guitar player.
That's the keyboard player.
Yeah, but I was never a big Cars fan. They were okay.
But anyways, it looks like all the original guys are going to get back together and do something. There's been no official announcement, but this photo leaked out. So
Todd Rundgren should take the bass player's place now. He's multi-talented.
That's true. I hadn't even thought of that. And finally, in the music news, this next Easter would mark 50 years since Colin Blunstone first met fellow Zobby Rob Argent. Did you know
Rod Argent. Yes. Actually, I did.
And
I celebrate it every year around Easter.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, they are celebrating with a new album. They're in the studio now, and the Zombies are back and are planning on releasing the album on Easter this coming year.
Didn't they come out with an album a few years back, too?
They did, yes, but that wasn't an anniversary of any kind.
No, and I think I heard it, and it was okay.
Yeah, so
not much more.
It'll be interesting to see if the Zombie Boys still have it.
Actually, they were one of the best bands of their era. You know,
yeah.
I know I like them quite a bit, actually.
Most people probably familiar with Time of the Season.
She's Not There, Tell Her
Yeah.
No. Colin Blunstone did some really nice albums just after Zombies broke up. One Year On, I think, was the title of the first one, which was a really, really nice album. And then there was another one after that. It might have been called Ennismore.
And then,
There was A Law of Diminishing Returns.
Right.
Then
Argent did Hold Your Head Up, right?
Yeah, Hold Your Head Up was around the same time as the Colin Blunstone stuff. Actually, the first Argent album is pretty good, too, I think. The one before, the one with Hold Your Head Up.
See, I'm not familiar with any of the solo stuff. That was
Colin Blunstone did a really nice version of a song called What Becomes of the Broken Hearted, an old Motown Jimmy Ruffin tune.
Right.
And he did it with Dave Stewart of Hatfield in the North.
Oh, no
that
kidding.
That was a really nice. And I think it was a big single in its era, too.
Wow. So. I had no idea.
In England, anyways, not here. But anyways, well, I'm, you know, glad they're working.
If you're a Zombies fan, you have something to look forward to now. And that does it for the music news for this week. And time now for us to get into the actual music portion of our program. I'm going to go first with my pick for a new release this week. This comes from a group called Bell and Sebastian. A band that has been around for...
I've heard of them.
I guess almost 15 years now. They got their start in 1996. They're from Glasgow, Scotland. Their name, which most people are confused by, comes from a French children's book called Belle et Sebastian. And it...
Your French is impressive.
The band has been sort of... one of those groups that morphs, where not each record has a slightly different lineup. They're up to seven piece now. There's seven people that are regularly in the band.
That could be good.
And this is this new album that it was just released this past Tuesday. It's called Write About Love. It's their first since the Life Pursuit, which came out in 2006. So they've had 3 years to sort of get this together, although there have been a bunch of side projects from some of the members in the band. Bell and Sebastian originally was on the Jeepster record label in Europe. They're now on Rough Trade over there, and all their stuff in America has come out through Matador Records. So they've always been on the sort of very highly thought of indie labels. I use air quotes there when I said that.
Well, Matador is, in the U.S.,
right,
well thought of. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, the fact that they've stuck by this band is actually kind of a good thing. I mean, they're an interesting band.
They're a band that has gotten consistently very highly critical acclaim, though they've never had any real huge commercial success. None of their stuff has ever really crossed over. They haven't gotten that
one. What about in the U.K.?
No.
They're either. I haven't followed them that much.
Their records have gotten in, I think number 12 is the highest that they had ever gone, but they still, I think they're just missing that one chance of where somebody from an ad agency takes one of their tracks and puts it in the new McDonald's commercial or an iPod commercial.
That'll probably happen after they split up.
Exactly.
And then they can reform and be a shadow of their former selves.
They're doing something somewhat interesting, kind of interesting contest with this new album. Again, the album's called Write About Love, and when you buy the album, you get a like a 8-digit code that you can use to enter this contest. And what it is you have to, in 300 words, write about love. And whoever the band's going to read these submissions and pick a winner, and then whoever wins will have Stuart, the lead singer from the band, come and spend a day with you and then write a song about you.
Well, that's
to be immortalized forever.
That's an interesting result. That could be fun.
and I
almost
think,
makes me want to write about love or buy a Bell and Sebastian record. I don't know.
It is, I guess, too, in the sense that it's for the type of audience that Bell and Sebastian has, which they tend to appeal to maybe more introverted and thoughtful young people. Some would say melancholy. I got a chance to see...
Sensitive souls?
Yes, I got a chance to see them in
my type
Toronto.
Of people, I might add.
Yeah.
I like sensitive souls.
And I think it'd be interesting to see some of the submissions for this contest. I'll be interested to find out if they share any of those with the fans, like if they post them on the website or whatever. But anyways, you do have a chance to be immortalized in a Bell and Sebastian song if you can come up with the best 300-word essay about writing about love. So with that, we'll hear a track from the new album. It is, I don't want to say more upbeat, because Bell and Sebastian do upbeat songs. They tend not to be known for
them. Depressing,
right.
They're...
But this is one of the more upper upbeat songs that they've done in a while. Again, this is from the new album, Write About Love. This is a track called I Didn't See It Coming. Okay, there you have it. New Belle and Sebastian from their brand new release called Right About Love.
It is a little more upbeat, I think.
Yeah, I thought it had a nice sort of crescendoing feel to it, too. The song builds up from fairly sparse sound and then blows up at the end. The song was called I Didn't See It Coming, my first pick for this week's AlternativeMusic.com podcast. Robert, who do you have for us for a new release?
Well, mine sort of falls in a weird way into the reformed group category.
Really?
That I'm so not fond of. But it's actually the new Brian Wilson record.
Okay.
Which has gotten a lot of press, called Reimagines Gershwin. I don't know what you know about this record.
I know that it confused me, that why was Brian Wilson doing Gershwin tunes?
Yeah, you know... You know, I was a big Beach Boys fan,
yes,
way back in the day, and particularly big Brian Wilson fan when I was a little kid. You know, I used to fantasize. I used to wish Brian Wilson was my big brother instead of my real big
right.
brother, because he seems so much cooler, you know?
I know that feeling.
Anyway, but, you know, I've always had a fondness for Brian Wilson, even in the down years. You know, I've bought a lot of bootlegs and stuff of studio things that he had done.
Right.
Was sort of glad when he came back in 89. But I have to admit, over the years, I've not been particularly crazy about the stuff that he's done. He's done some pretty, really weak albums, Imagination.
Really?
Yeah, and probably the best thing that came out was the Smile, the redo of Smile with mm-hmm. the guys from the Wonderments.
Yeah.
And one wonders just how much Brian Wilson actually had to do with that and how much the Wonderments guys had to do with. Some other things I thought he did were good was the one he did with Van Dyke Parks, Orange Crate Art,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot more Van Dyke Parks, I think, than Brian Wilson.
Okay.
And then his... I didn't hear the last one, That Lucky Old Son. I was just
right.
so uninterested. And when I heard about this, I just thought, oh, you know, I really didn't care. And I would not have probably picked this up had you not said, why don't you do the Brian Wilson record?
Right.
So I did.
Okay.
And I got it home, and I was a bit apprehensive, and I put it on, and I didn't particularly care for it.
Okay.
But it was one of those things where I repeatedly listened and I like this, I like this. And there are some really nice moments. Anyways, the story behind this is, I guess the Gershwin Estate approached Wilson about doing this project.
Really?
With the offer of completing two pieces that he wrote, that Gershwin wrote. So they'd be unfinished. Like Gershwin, unfinished pieces, Gershwin / Wilson compositions.
Wow.
Which is kind of a weird thing, and I questioned, you know, somebody finishing another person's.
Right, right.
But, I mean, it's happened all the time. I mean, you know, Mahler's 9th Symphony or 10th Symphony was finished by somebody else, by Derek Cook, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's not unheard of that it's done. I don't know. As a record, it's, like I say, it's kind of grown on me. There's pros and cons to this. Brian Wilson worked with a guy named Paul von Mertens. Do you know him?
No.
He's an arranger, and he was actually in a band, which you might know, Poi Dog Pondering.
Yeah.
He was like the reed player in that, but he's okay. Also gone on to do a lot of arrangements for Brian Wilson, going back to, I think, Imagination.
All right.
And he seems to be the chief person involved in the arrangements here. Supposedly, Brian Wilson had a lot to do with this, and he worked closely, you know, directing Mertens.
Okay.
And there are some good pieces on here. Am I equivocating enough here?
Yeah, but I guess my question would, or just to reiterate, it took you a few listens to...
Yeah, definitely, to kind of want
to find the good,
you know,
in this
part
one.
Of it is... you know, Brian Wilson's voice has been aged, and of course it's going to happen, and, you know, the lifestyle he led, you know, the particularly the downs really kind of ravaged his voice, and it's nothing like it was back in the 60s, but whose is, you know?
Right.
You know, so anyway, I think what we'll do is play two tunes from this.
Okay.
That particularly appeal to me. First one's going to be, his version of I Got Plenty of Nothing, which is from one of the tunes from Porgy and Bess. And oddly enough, it's handled as an instrumental, but it almost sounds like it could be an instrumental outtake to Pet Sounds or something like that. It's kind of nice. You know, it's got the bass harmonica in there.
Yeah.
And then that's followed up by I Got Rhythm. Now, one thing I have to say, I don't think it's blasphemous that Brian Wilson is handling Gershwin like Beach Boys material. And this particular track is really, really redolent. You can hear, if you're familiar with the Beach Boys albums, on the Surfin' USA album, there was a song called Farmer's Daughter. You'll hear it in this particular track.
Okay.
And, you know, in other instances, there's a version of They Can't Take That Away From Me that sounds like almost like Little Saint Nick or something. You know, it's got that same beat.
Some wow. Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, people have been doing that with Gershwin all along, and that's the beauty of this material, is that it can be reshaped and personalized,
right,
you know, if you want to interpret it, and which is what I think Brian Wilson did. And I think the songs that work the least are the ones where he doesn't do that. You know, it's kind of a weird thing. But why don't we give it a spin? We're going to hear I Got Plenty of Nothing, and the other track is I Got Rhythm, one of the most famous Gershwin compositions ever. Check it out.
Thank you.
Beach Boys fans will recognize that ending as the farmer's daughter motif, I guess we'll call
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, I think it's a pretty good version. You know, there was a hit version back in the late 60s by a group called The Happenings that was dreadful.
A cover of I've Got Rhythm.
Yeah, I've Got Rhythm, one of Gershwin's most famous songs. I don't know. You know, the thing I liked about this, on the plus side, you know, he really does sound engaged by the music and kind of, you know, I was wondering how much does Brian Wilson have to do with Gershwin? And I was kind of doing some research on it. There's a good book called Inside the Music of Brian Wilson by Philip Lambert.
Uh-huh.
And in the book, he does talk about how, well, actually, I think it's in Wilson's autobiography, Wouldn't It Be Nice, which is kind of suspect to begin with, but where he talks about like one of his first musical memories being Rhapsody in Blue by Gershwin and being transfixed by it.
Really?
A good chunk of his life. And he did actually record a version of Summertime back in the early 60s, 63, 64, with a singer named Sharon Marie.
I didn't know that.
One of the Beach Boys hangers-on back then.
Hmm.
You know, it's nothing like the version of Summertime in here. It's just some of this works, some of this doesn't for me. You know, I imagine it's got mostly favorable reviews.
Right.
There have been some, you know, some with reservations, probably sort of like this commentary is. It'll probably, you know, be nominated for a Grammy because this is the type of thing the Grammys love.
Oh, right. That's true.
Whether it'll win or not is another issue, but considering Brian Wilson, I don't think he's ever... Oh, no, he won a Grammy for Smile, I think, didn't he?
Yeah.
Seem to recall that.
Yes.
But, you know, he never won a Grammy in his prime when he should have won. But,
well,
then, you know, there's probably good stuff like Winchester Cathedral going around that deserve the Grammy more.
Well, maybe if Susan Boyle doesn't put a record out this year, he's got a shot.
Doesn't she have a new one out?
I don't know. I just figured.
Voice of an Angel.
Yeah, that's got to be it. All right, back to my selection for the archive pick of the week. This is where Robert and I go back into our own personal libraries and pick out some relatively obscure music that we feel should see the light of day, at least at one time in history. And
that time is now.
That's right. My pick comes from a group called Flowchart, which is really just the project of one guy, Sean O'Neill, who works with a sort of rotating cast of instrumentalists and vocalists. He's from Philadelphia, and they've been going since 1999. This is their third record that we're going to hear a track from. It's probably the favorite of all their pieces, though they've... The sound of the band has definitely evolved from record to record, and they've ended up now more in a dance/house music type sound, which is not really...
What did they start out as?
Well, they started out doing what I would describe it as like indie, ambient, sort of blissed out pop music. Sort of the... If you imagine maybe the quieter aspects of Stereolab and My Bloody Valentine, very, very much the sense of, I think I've used this to describe music before, but when you're listening to it, the feeling that you're drowning in music, that it's just essentially all around you and there's many, many layers to what's going on. On this album, it was Sean O'Neill, and he was helped by vocalist Aaron Anderson. And the album, I should say, by the way, is called Cumulus Mood Twang, which I think in retrospect, after hearing the record a few times, is a pretty spot on title, because I think that sort of is a good descriptor of the sound that you hear. The track we're going to hear is called Yo Show, and again, I think this is just perfect indie ambient bliss out.
You said this was their third album?
Yes.
What year is it from?
This is from 2001. Hmm. So we're going to hear a track again. This is Flowchart. on the alternativemusic.com podcast. this Mood Twang CD and a song called Yosho. Yosho. Y-O-S-H-O.
Japanese?
I guess. I don't know.
We don't know.
So, Robert, for your archival pick, you have something somewhat
different.
Yes.
Once again, this is a little different from Flowchart. Actually, you know, we've been talking about how I've been trying to tie in different... my main pick with an archival pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of, you know, Gershwin and how he's been interpreted over the years. And I was trying to think of a pop way to do it. And my thought was to perhaps do the Happenings version of I Got Rhythm, which is really not very good. It's kind of a Four Seasons type approach to it.
Right.
It's pretty dreadful. And plus, I don't own the track, and I wasn't about to go out and buy it or anything.
Okay.
But I came up with something a lot nicer. It's actually by a group called the Flamingos. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They were a doo-wop group. And once again, I'm not a huge doo-wop fan, but...
I see that case there. That one, yeah.
The album. This is from an album they did called Flamingo Serenade back in 1959, 1960. Flamingos were a doo-wop band, and they had a huge hit in 1959 with their version of I Only Have Eyes For You, which is one of the most cosmic pieces of music I've ever heard. It's really, really stunning.
Okay.
Their harmonies are just unbelievable, and it's kind of got kind of this trance-like, by the way.
Sure.
Their harmonies are just transcendent. Anyway, so I was listening to, actually, Flamingo's Serenade not too long ago, and I was really struck by their version of a Gershwin song called Love Walked In, which is a standard, you know, classic. And this just kind of demonstrates how each generation kind of tries to interpret this music for their own crowd.
Right.
And, you know, just like Brian Wilson is doing I Got Rhythm for the Beach Boys crowd, the Brian Wilson crowd, you have the Flamingos doing it for... lovers and
the doo-wop crowd.
You know, of their era. But you know, they also take care of their music, and this is a really wonderful version of this. It's very very slow, not very long, but truly stunning.
Okay.
The Flamingos, Love Walked In.
And drove the shadows away.
just don't know what to say about that. It's just so transcendent. You know, that whistling almost sounds like a theremin.
Right, and not that far off from what you would hear on a Beach Boys record.
I like to think that they heard this stuff. I mean, I'm sure Brian Wilson heard I Only Have Eyes for You.
Right.
And I would like to think he goes, hey, we could do that. You know, we could do it our way. But once again, one of the reasons I chose that is, you know, it just shows you how Gershwin, I mean, these songs are malleable enough that they could be reinterpreted from generation to generation. And that's one of the positive things about the Brian Wilson reimagines Gershwin. I only wish it had happened earlier, you know, back in his prime. I would have loved to have heard him do that. But then again, it also, the new album does have a certain measure of his maturity and mature musical vision to make it worthwhile now, too, I guess. So,
and it sounds like then you're giving it a tentative thumbs up?
For the Brian Wilson, a tentative thumbs up. The Flamingos, everybody should run out and buy the Flamingos Serenade album, actually, which is a stunning, stunning record.
And the as far as my picks go, the Belle and Sebastian, I would definitely give a two thumbs up to. It's very, if you've liked any of the Belle and Sebastian music that you've heard in the past, you won't be disappointed by the new album, not in any way. And also, if you know, buy it, you get a chance to get Stuart to come and spend the day with you and immortalize you in a song. So
would he come to Rochester, do you think?
There were no geographic limitations. And I know that this is a contest that's specifically running through the American label, through Matador, so.
And Flowchart?
And Flowchart also.
By the first three albums, four albums?
Yeah, the latter stuff, they did actually a split, or sort of a collaborative album with Sabres of Paradise.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
Andy Weatherall.
That's when it got too far into the house music sound for my liking. But to me, the Cumulus Mood Twang was sort of the peak of the blissed out.
Well, it was definitely an interesting track you played.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of the AlternativeMusic.com podcast. Again, I'm Andrew Chinesi, shop owner of Lakeshore Record Exchange, here with faithful co-host, noted music critic, Rob Roberts. And we'll be back again in about a week or so, and remind you that if you have any questions or comments about the program, any of the music that you've heard or comments that we've said, you can email us directly at podcast@alternativemusic.com. And we also have a webpage set up where you can get more information on the music that we've played and any of the things that we've referenced during the course of the program. So until next podcast, Robert, do you have any words of wisdom or advice or any rhymes or anything you want to leave the audience with for next show?
Not a thing.
Okay, and until then, we will talk to you later.